What's up, everybody? This is Sight to the Blind. It's kind of funny right now that you see a lot of unawakened Black Americans trying to validate Kamala Harris's race. I've seen so many stupid memes about her being at an HBCU, dressing and looking Black is supposed to be a pass for her being an African American. This is how spiritually and mentally retarded Black Americans are as a people. Because white folk go to HBCUs. There's even white folks in Greeks, which I don't know why they would do it when they could do a whole leap and jump and be York Rite Scottish Rite Freemasons and be over top of Prince Hall, which is Prince Hall's over top of the Boule. I don't know why they would go from the bottom when they could literally just start at the top. I know a couple of white boys that are Omega Psi Phis. So it's hilarious to me that Black folks think that all you have to do is to qualify for Black is go to HBCU and join a Greek. Well, that ain't even Black to begin with. We all know Robert Morris, the founder of the Order of the Eastern Stars, created or branched out with his Black women that he brought up into this OES, and they branched out into these universities. Like an octopus. They just had tentacles all over the place. So that's how they were created. So it's not even Black to begin with. And the fact that they started these Greek and Boule organizations, we were in curses. But Black folk are still living in their curses because they don't know who they are. And they still walk around blind and they sound even more dumb. And it's, you know what's worse? It's even the men that's doing it. I've seen so many sassy posts on TikTok with men trying to do this whole false equivalency argument to try to shame brothers for not voting for Kamala Harris. It's hilarious. Like, dudes is really piercing their lips, putting their chin up, and then writing words over their pictures or their videos or their reaction with something as simple as, y'all talking about Kamala ain't Black, but your baby mamas and your... Something silly like that. It's always... I'm paraphrasing, but it's always something along the lines of you saying that Kamala's not Black. Meanwhile, your mother is the same complexion that she is. Something stupid like that that they've been saying. So it's hilarious. I know that I post a lot more about the Democratic Party than I do the Republican Party. So people assume I'm with this far-right conservative Republican Party, which is not. It's just Democratic Party gives you so much ammunition to tear them apart. Where the conservatives are just, that's what they are. They're weak, bland, and you already know what that is. There's no fun to expose them. You already know what they are. They've been who they are all this time. It's only the Democratic Party that's gone through all these so-called fake changes and switching sides that people believe in that gives us the ammunition to keep exposing them. And knowing that they're not going to write any executive orders for you, you know what? I really do wish that she becomes president just so Black America can see that this nation and this country has never been for them. They're not going to write any executive orders for Black Americans to protect themselves from police. It's not happening. We done had the George Floyd Act. We done had the Breonna Taylor Act. I mean, what stopped? Nothing has stopped. They still getting shot in the street and allowing police departments to go into their house and then shoot them when they have a pot of hot water in their pot. Like, it ain't nothing going to happen. They're going to create what? The Sonya Massey Act? Where now the police can't come into your house without you acknowledging them or asking, can they come into your house? It's stupid because they don't give people who are of another race these type of situations. Maybe they do, we don't see it, but you don't see white folks, Asian folks, Spanish folks hollering about we need a police act to protect us from this. And it really should wake Black folks up that they aren't set up to protect you. I talked about this before where the police department, since it's the old Supreme Court justice law, that they don't have a right to protect you from any harm. That whole protect and serve is BS. You're retarded if you believe that. The same people who hate white supremacy but want white supremacy to reprimand their officers and what they're made to do, which is cause judgment. The whole thing with Sonya Massey, it should have wakened you up that the name Jesus Christ has no power. And people on TikTok paraded that around with all their little stories of, oh, Satan fears Jesus Christ. How? You think Satan wasn't around before the letter J? You think Satan wasn't around when they translated and transliterized and Hellenized all of the scriptures? You think he wasn't around for that? You think he don't know who the real person is? You don't think he knows how to imitate and manipulate? For instance, I always talk about this whole thing with numerology. And I said before, if you start from the ground up and understand the basic numerology of what governs this world, you were sooner or later bump into a ceiling, and that ceiling, if you can push through, has the Most High's name written all over it. Now, I'm not saying the Most High is the God of numbers or the Elohim of mathematics. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying is, in your digging, when you go to the foundation of something, more than less times, it's the Most High's foundation. He got his hands in it. He's the one that created it. So everything that's about his creation, that means if he created Satan, he created these angels, he created the luminaries, he created even the creeping creatures that we have no idea what they look like, but only from scripture, behind this veil that we're never going to get to see until the end of times. It has his name on it. It's everything comes from him. So I was looking at this numerology video on YouTube, but I had to come across when Adam died at 930 years old. Now, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, he told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit or you eat of this tree, in that day you will die. You will surely die. But when they ate of it, they didn't die that day, did they? No, because Adam lived 930 years old. So then you go to Jubilees 430. And it says, and he lacked 70 years of 1,000 years, for 1,000 years are as one day in the testimony of the heavens. And therefore was it written concerning the tree of knowledge, on the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall die. For this reason, he did not complete the years of this day, for he died during it. Then it had me thinking, I'm like, 930 years. He told him he was going to sweat, till the ground, and he will never find rest. So why was 930 so significant in cutting him off? Why didn't he cut him off at 999 or 998 or 997? Why did he cut him off at 930? Then you could find this out, but if you go to 2 Chronicles 36:21, it says, to fulfill the word of Yahuwah by the mouth of Yirmiyahu until the land had enjoyed her Shabbats. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Shabbat to fulfill 70 years. That equates to 70 years when the Israelites went into captivity to Babel before the reign of the kingdom of Persia. So if the land became desolate, it was going to enjoy its Shabbats. The number Shabbat is 7, just like the seventh day. So you take 70 years, that's rest. So the Most High took away from Adam those 70 years out of his 900, out of his 1,000, left you with 930. That means 930 was correct and righteous judgment by the Most High, by him saying, I'm not going to allow you to rest. All the days of your life will be sweat and toil, working the ground, bearing thistles. So the Most High is telling you through symbology, through numerology, I have cut Adam off from rest 70 years. And then you find 70 years of Shabbats in 2 Chronicles 36:21. So the foundation of what Satan saw, he said he knew what Shabbats meant. He knows what the number 7 means. Satan is as smart as all of us here. So he has firsthand knowledge of how the Most High works. See, he was the one that's created first. So would you think that if he wants to be like the Most High, that he wouldn't have his minions, his little subjects and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my people. And I'm going to do it where it's 3 months and 3 days, or 3 months and 3 weeks, or 666 months away. Like, you don't think he would know that enough to implement it in this world? That's why I said, once you start digging, if you want to dig, you're always going to run into the Most High. So you can almost say Adam was the first victim of numerology, but it was righteous judgment. And again, I'm going to repeat myself. So with somebody going on a tangent and say, oh, I'm making Yah the god of mathematics. I'm not. I'm simply saying that the reason why they do things in this world is because they found out that it came from somewhere. And I think it's remarkable that when you dig, you can find this stuff out. That Adam, that Adam was removed 70 years or a Shabbat of rest because the Most High said that once you eat of this tree, you will die in that day. And he still, within that day, he died. That he did not find rest. All the days he did not find rest, and he made it out to be 70 years. So that's where it comes from. From the very first man. So of course Satan would use that and implement it in this world, and that's where we get gematria. People think it's like some mythical and magical thing that people can't understand. You can understand it if you want to understand it, truly. But then I was also getting into the season of reaping. I just happened to be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and 19 about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And I think this is a story that most of you need to start understanding, especially when you're in the wrong group of people or the wrong group of friends, or are you trying to help somebody that don't want to help themselves? Why take place in their judgment? Why stand in the way of sinners? Why be in the counsel of the wicked? So the whole thing with 2 Chronicles 18 and 19, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor, and he tried to help Ahab when it was soon to be prophesied that Ahab would die through his wickedness. Now, King Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, was always around Ahab. So he knew what Ahab did. They go down and sacrifice sheep together. So they've been around each other for some years. But he should have known of Ahab's wickedness or his disobedience. But he kept being around him. And now when a lion spirit took counsel from the Most High and said that he was going to be a lion spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets, he said, go ahead and do it. And so Ahab is like, don't ask this Levite priest or this prophet, don't ask him to prophesy anything good for me because he won't do it. So Jehoshaphat said, no, let him speak. And sure enough, the man said, if you go up here, you being a shepherd or an Adonai of the people, your people will be scattered because you will fall. And Jehoshaphat hearing this and said, you know what? Let me still go up there and help him. So the king of Aram told the troops to kill the king of Yashareel only. So when they started to rush who they thought was the king of Yashareel, Ahab, it was actually Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat had to cry out to Yah, please help me, please help me. And Elohim had to cause the enemies, his enemies that were around about him, starting to circle him up, had to blind them to get them to retreat or to leave when they found out it wasn't Ahab, that was in fact Jehoshaphat. And when he left, that's what happens. And then, you know, the story of Ahab dying and getting killed. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, it says, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Yahu, the son of Kaani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love them that hate Yahuwah? Therefore is wrath upon you from before Yahuwah. So some of you need to really truly think in these end times. You cannot stop someone's season of reaping if all they've been reaping is wickedness. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. Now, I'm not talking about you can't pray for your friends and can't pray for people who you love that are wicked. I'm not saying you can't do that. But what I'm saying is, when they're going into judgment, there is nothing you can do that's going to stop the Most High's plans for that person. It ain't like the days of Abraham and Lot, where Abraham prayed and brought Lot out. I mean, Lot wasn't wicked. Lot wasn't being unrighteous. Lot just was foolish and didn't know what to do. It's the same thing with Moses. If you read Numbers, how many times that Moses had to drop down on his hands and knees and pray for the children of Yisrael not to be destroyed because of their own ignorance. It wasn't that they were being wicked or they wanted to be wicked. It's just they were just dumb. They just, their sins was new to them. They were being saved. They don't know how they were being saved. They know there was somebody saving them or looking out for them, but they don't know anything face to face because they've been around Egyptian idols all their life and watching them battle things that are just stone and iron and wood. So they don't know about just the ruach or the spirit or something that they can't see governing them. So they were just ignorant. But when it comes to something like this, when Ahab knew what was wicked, just like Jehoshaphat knew what was wicked, but still tried to help him or show love to him, when really you're loving someone that hates the Most High, especially when they know. Now, everybody is going to have a chance to know this truth. Everybody has a chance to have understanding of what's going on. If you are a person who has knowledge and understanding about these scriptures and how people can be saved through repentance, that is your job, is to tell them. They're not going to find it on their own. You could pray all you want, but they're not going to fight it on their own unless you, they, if you really love them, like, hey, this is the way we should go. Now, it's up to them to either receive it or reject it. And once they reject it, the Most High has already given them up to a reprobate mind. And there's nothing you can do once he sends them away. He is not going to force anybody to come to him. You have to come to him. And really, it's all if he chooses you. If you have a specific purpose, he will choose you and correct you along the way to bring you back to him. But some people, you can see what the way this world is going, that he's letting a lot of people go. If you read the book of Ezra, he told Ezra, he said, take for yourself all the stones of this earth, which was gold, brass, silver, lead, clay, And think for yourself which one is precious. And he said gold is precious because it's few. And everything that it's in abundant is brass, silver, lead, and clay. He said, why don't you ball them, bring them together and save them and save them all. He said, not so. You can't combine these all because one thing is precious and the other is not worth anything. He said, this is what's going to be in the end times. He said, I'm going to rejoice over the few. I'm not going to worry about what's abundant or what's plenty, what is worthless. I am going to rejoice over the few. He had to keep correcting Ezra and said, don't worry about how I'm going to punish the unrighteous. Worry about the righteous, because it is them that's making my glory shine. He's not caring about who's on Satan's side or whatever delusions that they get, that delusions of grandeur that they have for themselves in this new age. He don't care. He's more concerned about the precious. He's more concerned about his people. He's more concerned about a small number of a people who is making his glory shine. So then it could be said that his judgment is right, that he's not just punishing the whole world for no reason. And people need to start thinking about that number, that word few. There was many people in the days of Enoch. But he saved 8. There's maybe twice as many people than it was in Enoch. And he only guarded 144,000 Israelites. And maybe some other people from different nations that are doing this work. So when you say you think he cared about everybody, he don't care about everybody. He made that certain before the flood, that he didn't care about everybody. But he cared about them enough to give them 125 years to change their mind. And no, didn't happen. Just like in Book of Revelation, he told them, like, I'm going to put these plagues on them. At least he was merciful and is giving us plagues and having you having a chance to repent. But he says, even after these plagues and this destruction and desolation that people are going to be going through, they still won't turn to repentance. They still won't drop down on their knees and give him honor and glory. It's already been done. It's already been said. So if you are righteous and walking in your journey and your walk to the Most High, you have to truly think to yourself, is it truly worth it to put yourself in the shoes of Jehoshaphat when you do not have to? We all want to save somebody. We all want to save somebody. It's just in us when we get that light. When we get that righteousness, we want to save everybody. Because we've seen what the other side looks like. But when judgment has gone out, there is nothing you can do about it. It's the Most High saying, no one can snatch them out of my hand. I have the power over life and death. I bring up, I wound, I can heal. And no one can deliver it out of my hand. Even Yahusha said it, none can be delivered out of my Father's hand. So you walking with somebody to a place or a destination, they're headed for judgment, and you're walking with them, trying to help them. Hey, you should do this. Hey, you should do that. Hey, you should do that. And then you end up in the same situation as Jehoshaphat, and then the Most High has to call down angels or a protection or a hedge to get you to see it where you almost escape death, or you're near death or near a traumatic incident. That's what you have to think about. Because as long as you walk with these people that's walking to judgment, walking to desolation and hurt and plagues, you're going to be in it. And then he got to show you why you shouldn't be in it. But the only thing they say of Jehoshaphat was the fact that he was good. He was righteous. That he did the Most High's bidding, followed his laws, statutes, commandments, and took down the Asherah poles. Now, speaking of Asherah poles, you know, all these Canaanite deities like El and Yahweh, I had a brother on my show that he was the one of the first brothers that woke me up. Truly, I talked about this story. When anybody tells me how did I woke up, I always tell them, thoughts, camera, action, and online ministries woke me up. When I started crying about the Israelites walking into Egypt, and I saw the video that he put together, I bawled my eyes out. So I'm a little bit taken back to the fact that I had the brother on the show. He was one of my first guests on this show. To find out now, he's using his platform to say that the Exodus is a myth. That now he no longer believes in Scripture. That it's all fake. That it's all been Masonically made up, that the Hebrews aren't really Hebrews, that they're Canaanites, and that Yahuwah is not Yahuwah, it's actually Yahweh. So he's tried to back this information up with a bunch of random nobodies and Christian pastors and other pastors that he don't know if they're Freemasons or not. They're going around saying that the Exodus myth is not real, that the Hyksos are people that are Hyksos, which come from, they say, Western Asia, or that's really the Arab, have came in and taken place of who the Hebrews are or were. And then he went as far as to say, just like Jordan Davis did, that the transatlantic slave trade wasn't real, or it wasn't, it, well, it happened, but the numbers are not adding up. So he went from his platform being thoughts, camera, action, to TCA, to provoking thought, to brain tubes, now to sound logical. And I tried to thumb through some of these videos, and there was some Hebrews on there, there was some Israelites on there were hot, but I'm going to play three videos of where he was going with this whole, the Exodus is myth.
Christians and Jews and even Muslims, when they speak of their God, who they are truly speaking of from the Canaanite perspective, is the Canaanite deity from the Canaanite pantheon with their merger of El and Yahweh. This is not a group of people who were visited by some God and then given flight out of Egypt and established themselves as Israelites, being the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but these stories were created in order to give themselves antiquity and to separate themselves from the other Canaanite people who were suffering during the Bronze Age collapse. And what is amazing is that people today are hedging their life on what people believed and wrote back then.
It's not what people believed and wrote back then. They have tablets. They have inscriptions and hieroglyphs where Yosef is on the walls. They even have one where Moshe was on the walls, but it was dug out because it was the decree or edict that went out that his name was struck from every pylon and inscription or detail in all these buildings. It was struck off. They had that evidence. They also had the evidence of the Israelites doing slavery. I'm like, brothers, just get on there and just say anything. And people pick it up. And he's wrong for posting it. After he had done, for 3 or 4 years, he had been in that truth. He's been posting and talking about it. He even having albums talking about Yah, all of this. And all of a sudden, he's about El and Yahweh, where he believes that the Canaanites and Hebrews are the same people, which would make no sense. Because if you go through scripture, why would the Most High punish, why would he punish, reprimand, and send into slavery if he is El or Yahweh and he set up astral poles, which is, that's the Canaanite pantheon. It's having to do with astral poles. And he had to make Hezekiah and all the other prophets or priests or kings to tear down astral poles. So how, if he is El and Yahweh, why would he get the Israelites or the Canaanites to tear down his own deities of worship? It makes no sense. That's why when we go through this, I'm going to continuously think about 1 Timothy chapter 4, when it says, "Now the Ruach speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing Ruach and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now this goes back to what he was doing before. He was teaching, then his teachings turned into exposing, where he was exposing Freemasons and Prince of Freemasons and the cults, which is the IUIC camps. He was doing all that. He was fine. And then it started going into him trying to expose, like I said, online ministries, where I watched them for a long time. They were one of the first couples that woke me up. But they never did anything Masonic. They never taught a different doctrine. It's maybe they did things with their hands they didn't know, but they didn't teach a doctrine that was Masonic. But he accused them of being Masonic. And he kept reposting those videos of them being Masonic. He thinks that the Most High doesn't pay attention to this. Now, if you are wrong, if you didn't repent, what that does is open a door. It opens a door for you to be either oppressed by seducing spirits that it get your mind to think about and talk about anything that you think is the truth. Now that couple came on their own channel and say, "You know what? I sometimes put my hands like this, but I have never been a Freemason. I've never been a Greek." And his wife did the same thing. He said, "I don't know where this is coming from." And he's had this particular couple on his show before. So this is all weird. Instead of just taking a step back and saying, okay, what's really what? He's not doing that. He's putting his foot to the pedal, and he's saying through all these platforms that he has that the Exodus isn't real. To say the Exodus isn't real is to say that the Israelites not real. Is it to say the whole scripture is not real? Is it to say the word of the Most High is not real? Then you plan for something different. And what's happening to you is, the more you post these type of videos and trying to explain yourself, you sound backwards, you sound ignorant, and you're not using all of the scripture. You're using Wikipedia, the Britannica, and Jewish websites. So whatever you find in the internet is going to back up your theory because it's not backed up by scripture. And then he's trying to back it up with scripture by taking parts of certain scripture that wasn't around at that time and trying to say, okay, the Deuteronomy curses didn't happen at the time of Acts. Of course it didn't happen. He said, where did everybody get dispersed? And of course, if you see the map that he used the fake land in Israel, where I've seen the maps, where I know where Sodom and Gomorrah is, where I know where the real Gaza is, because I've seen the maps. Even Jericho. I even seen the hidden river of Jordan, where they tried to hide it, but I found it. All in South Africa. Kanaan is in South Africa. Jerusalem is in southern Namibia. Rehoboth, Beersheba, all in southern West Africa. So they're trying to use this story or use this Exodus myth that he's gotten from different parts of the internet and mashed them together to try to make his thing. And he's getting it from people who aren't really learned either. You think the Most High is going to pour out knowledge and understanding on people in the 70s, 80s, 90s who's trying to debunk the Exodus myth? Now, we know that they didn't cross the Red Sea. They crossed the Yam Suf, which is the Sea of Reeds. So that would make plenty of sense how they would just go over and never go back across a river, but go down on the eastern side and then follow all the way down to where all those real biblical places were. Because if you read scripture, all those places are around each other that I found. So they wouldn't want you to know that the real biblical Yasharel is in Africa. So I've seen parts of different cartographers and different maps from different companies all place biblical locations in southern Africa right in the perfect space from each other according to scripture. But he's using people who are supposed to blind us, who have always been our enemies. He's using that to back it up and trying to make it that Yahuwah is now Yahweh or El only because the Freemasons said so. So he went from accusing real people who are doing the work as Freemasons and then taking Freemason work to validate the Canaanite theory. I'll play another one.
Show me the historical evidence that the Hebrews were not the Hyksos in the Bible. I was called names. I was called a transsexual, all kind of crazy nonsense. But they could not provide the evidence that the Hebrews of the Bible were not the Hyksos. Hebrew is a language and not a people. Hebrew is a language and not a people. You can't show me one verse in the Bible that has Hebrew Israelite in the scripture. So Christianity and Judaism is survived by biblical information, but not historical. Can provide me with some documentation instead of hitting me with insult. So from the 13th dynasty on to the 18th dynasty, you see nothing but Hisco separate kings, even documented by the names that they use. But you know what they say, you want to have some and put it in books.
And that's the argument that most of these ignorant people have, these ignorant brothers have. That's like me saying, you got to prove to me that the Most High didn't create the Big Bang. Whereas the Big Bang is not in scripture, so the Big Bang must have happened because it's not in scripture. But it's archaeological evidence by all of the fake NASA and CGI videos that we saw that's how it proves it's real. Because I don't see the Big Bang in scripture, so the Big Bang must be real. If you actually looked up Hyksos, the Hyksos were a small group of West Asian people who ruled northern Egypt. We didn't rule northern Egypt because we were led out of Egypt during the second intermediate period between 1640 and 1522 BC. The word Hyksos is the Greek version of the Egyptian title Hekakasut. So what he's talking about isn't even the true name. It's the Greek version of that name. Again, European white folk, he's listening to that and trying to debunk his own heritage, his own bloodline, to say it didn't exist. Which means rulers of foreign lands hail countries. The Hyksos kings of 15th dynasty ruled from Avaris, but did not control the entire land. The names and order of the kings are uncertain, but some known Hyksos kings include Sautis, Sakirhar, Kion, and Apipi. Like I said, Pipi, but Apepi. But all of these are kind of like Egyptian names, or they are Semitic people, but West Asian. So, of course, it could be a combination of Keturah's children and Ishmael's children, and then Japheth's children. We don't know. But I know it's they're not Hebrews. And then he goes, there's not a Hebrew Israelites in the scripture. Because no one called them Israelites. It was Yasharel. It's Israel for the retards. But for us, it's Yasharel or Yashareli. It didn't need to be Hebrew Israelites because the children of Eber, that's where we get Hebrew from. It wouldn't even call Hebrew, it was Ivri, the Ivrium, I-V, Ivrium, which is a descendant of Eber. They changed it to Hebrew. So of course you're not going to find Hebrew Israelites in scripture. These people really don't pay attention to nothing. They just get on here with the minimum knowledge of reading maybe Genesis and a little bit of Exodus and just, all right, I can't figure it out because my brain is seared like a hot iron. I just want to debunk all this stuff so I don't have to turn to my bloodline. I don't have to turn to my heritage. I don't have to turn for repentance. And that's all that is brothers trying to escape themselves out of what their spirit is calling them to be. They're fighting against it. Let me do another one.
When somebody actually studies this Bible, I think that one of the things that they will realize if they studied it through archaeology and true history is that the what you call Israelite people were actually Canaanite people. They did not come out of Egypt. The story of Exodus is not true. The only Egypt they came out of was that after the Bronze Age collapse, well, right before the Bronze Age collapse, and the Egyptians were defeated, they had to give up the Levant as their vassal state. And the Egyptians pulled out, and then the Bronze Age collapse happened. So the Israelite people really just separated what their ideas of El and Yahweh were, because Yahweh and El were Canaanite deities. And El, who was married to Asherah, had two sons. One of those sons were Yahweh and Baal. And then as they separated themselves, El became their primary god.
And this, like I said before, it's a shame this brother went down this route, because he spent years going through scripture, breaking down scripture. Now he's, like I said, the Most High be putting spirits on people who open themselves up to this type of foolishness. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing destruction of the brothers using their own brain and using their own understanding to try to debunk something that's more powerful and more smart than they are. And they sound stupid trying to do it. But he's going to let you, he's seeing you, he's letting you see the power that he has. And you think he couldn't send a lion spirit to Ahab and think he couldn't harden Pharaoh's heart with Prince Mastema? And you think he can't send spirits on there to mess up your whole program where you can't really teach properly, where he's going to get you to humble yourself? You may lose your channel. You don't even lose your channel, because now people can speak anything they want and getting more followers for speaking BS and lies than they are actually speaking the truth. So his following count might go up, but a lot of brothers aren't against it. Right now he went from 15,000 to 20,000 views on videos. Now it's gone down to 453 views, 200 views, not much engagement. That's the Most High's doing. Hosea 2:16. And it shall be at that day, says Yahuwah, that you shall call me Ishai, which is husband, and shall call me no more Baali, which is Baal. So why, if the Most High is El and Yahweh, which is Asherah and Baal, why would he tell the Israelites, who are supposed to be Canaanites, that he don't want them to call him by the name that you call him? It makes no sense why he said that. Because he's ignorant and he doesn't know anything. But this is nothing different, truly. This is just scripture playing itself out, prophecy playing itself out. I mean, I still love that brother. I do. Maybe he'll turn over. But to continue to go down this road and trying to find and match up different things and take the biblical timeline out of order just to back up something that you really don't understand, because now you being against the word, now you're trying to find things in the word and make it incorrect. And that is troubling and dangerous to do. and thinking the Most High don't see you, thinking the Most High don't hear you, especially when you know when you walk this truth. What does it say when somebody turns back from unrighteousness? I mean, turn back from righteousness and they go back or go back into dog's vomit. It even says, and I can't think of the chapter right now, is that woe be to that person who saw the righteousness, who saw the works and saw the truth of Yahuwah, decided to go against it, to backslide. And that's always been our issue and our problem too, is backsliding. And then this ain't the time to be backsliding anywhere, especially how fast time is coming. But he's making it, he's being real adamant about this backsliding. I'm talking about if you go to those pages, go to Brain Tubes and Sound Logical and just go and just look at it. Everything they say is just a combination of weak pastors and the ignorant making the same comment with no actual proof because they say they don't see it, they don't have archaeological evidence. Well, how do we get over here? Because I don't see archaeological evidence of those slave ships. And the only way I can back up that we were over here is through the curses of Deuteronomy. But he don't understand it because his ass is in UK. He in London. So of course he wouldn't understand African-American history because his ass ain't on them boats. He touching everything around what he's supposed to be touching. And a lot of brothers are doing it, saying that the transatlantic slave trade is not real. Then to say the Exodus is not real. Then trying to attack the second Exodus because you found out other Israelites believed in different things. And that's what happens when you try to expose darkness too much. You start almost believing what they're saying is real. So how can you put videos on top of videos of people speaking, trying to manipulate the word, and then you go right behind them and say, okay, yeah, none of this is real. All of it's fake. There is no chosen people. Being a hypocrite. If that's what you believe, you might have just been quiet, truly, and figured it out on your own, or delete the channel and come back and you a new person. But you got Israelites following you, looking for the truth, looking for the way, and you lead them, that you as a shepherd are leading your people down the wrong road. And then you're trying to validate this with people who are not as learned as you, who's not in scripture like you, who haven't been teaching and producing the work like you. That's crazy to me. No archaeological evidence. So now everybody has to have something they can see in order to believe it. That's flesh. But one thing I'm not going to do is continue to use Wikipedia to try to back up all my claims as if that's facts, that's the truth. Wikipedia and a bunch of men who are in a religion, which they don't know the truth either. Especially the videos that I've seen that all been from, look like they're in the 90s, early 2000s, and the 80s. That's the shameful part. Not once you'd be like, okay, the Most High, tell me or show me if I'm wrong or right. I know he probably didn't have that conversation. But just continued on this road. And then the more you continue on that road, it just sounds silly. And now you got to keep repeating videos of it to fool yourself. Because you're not fooling the real Israelites. You're not fooling the people. You're not fooling Black Americans over here who are waking up or becoming Israelites, or people who are Israelites in this country. You're not fooling them. We know why we were over here. We got scriptures, multiple scriptures that back that up. So I would say this. If you believe that the Exodus myth, from all the videos that have been posted, why not just make one video and say the Most High is a liar? You that big and bad, you that logical, you that smart, you more understanding the scripture than anybody else, you can put out theories and validate them by making everybody else feel like they're dumb because they're not open-minded enough. Just do one video and just say that. So, in the meantime, take heed of people seducing you, with lies and hypocrisy. Because this is the time for it. So I'm going to read that verse one more time. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Ruach speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Once you go down that road without repentance and talking slack or talking back against the Most High, this is what this verse is talking about. And this is what's going to happen to you in the days like the days of Ahab. The Most High is going to cause you to either humble yourself or give you over to a reprobate mind, and you watch you destroy yourself slowly. Watch that hedge be taken from you so you truly know his power. And I don't know if brothers out here being billionaires and millionaires got money stacked up where they can survive a couple of months through judgment. Because if the Most High has no pity on you, he'll snatch whatever you have, even if you have nothing. Like I said, Yahusha said, anything you have nothing. Even that I can take from you. Everybody out here should be doing this work where you've been given 10 talents or 5 talents or 2 talents and you do something with it. When brothers out here not doing what they're supposed to be doing with it, not doing the usury and hiding it, and when Yahushua said, "Oh, I'm coming back," you didn't do nothing with this. You didn't do nothing with what I gave you. I'm going to take away all that you have, even if you don't have nothing. If time sped up, that ain't the type of plan I'm trying to do around here. But all of you need to start thinking about that and start paying attention a little bit more about how these videos or these information being thrown out now. Because now brothers are saying anything. They get to a point where I've talked to I found all I needed to find out and it doesn't sound right to me. I don't feel like I'm being blessed, or I feel like there is no hedge around me, or I don't feel like I'm close to the Most High, or I don't feel like I'm successful in preaching and teaching the word or selling my albums. So now I got to go the other route. Now I'm believing seducing devils and spirits because now I'm upset. I always said this. When brothers are not used to being famous or being known, they are not going to take. I'm not saying this happens to him, but I'm saying when brothers get into this truth and they have never been known for anything and they start having a little following or get attention paid to them, their minds go all over the place when they come to a wall. When something stops in their ruach or something stops in their mind, then it becomes, all right, I've come. As far as I can go with this, I'm not seeing the riches. I'm not seeing the blessings. I'm not seeing anything. And then they turn back around like, all right, now I'm going to believe this then. And the whole time, the Most High probably knows exactly when you're going to turn back around and don't look back. So why would he bless you? Why would he put a hedge around you? Why would he exalt you when he knows this is what you're going to do? And some of you have to fight through that in your own mental, in your own ruach. Some of you right now are getting ready to turn back because you don't see the fruit of your works, the fruit of your doings yet. And the reason why you haven't done it, because he has a specific time for you to push through that wall and not stop at it. That's the important part. He wants to get you to that wall and through it. But I think he knows that some of you had that, I'm going to stop here and there's this turn back because I don't see it. Like he says, many were called, few chosen. Many are called, few chosen. He even says in Ezra, they shall not all be saved. I'll see y'all next week. Oh, matter of fact, I won't see you next week. I'm having a vacation off, so I'll see you the week after.